You're playing with Candy from voicelikecandy.com.
Hi, everyone. So, as you may have noticed from the title of this recording, this is my 200th audio release on Patreon, which is a pretty big deal, I think. And in fact, last month, which was August 2018, I celebrated my 2-year anniversary on Patreon. So, I just thought we'd have a little bit of fun, and instead of recording another script, I thought we'd do something a little bit more personal. And so what I've done is I solicited Q&A questions from all my patrons, and we kind of compiled it into this quirky little audio that I'm sharing with everyone just to kind of lift the veil a little bit, I guess, and share a little bit more about myself and my process and, I don't know, personal details, a look at my life, my relationship, all the kind of things that you guys asked. So anyway, without further ado, let's move on to a very special friend of mine who you've probably heard in numerous recordings of mine, especially if you've been subscribing to my original series recordings. This is a fellow voice actor who goes by the name of Ivan Erection. And he is going to ask me the first set of questions. So let's get started.
Good day to you all, and welcome to Inside the Porn Actor Studio. I'm your host, James Lichtum. Today, I would like to thank Voice Like Candy for appearing with us to celebrate her milestone achievement tonight. So, your patrons and fans have submitted lots of questions. Shall we get started?
Absolutely, let's go for it. I have a feeling this might turn out to be a long recording.
The first question is, what got you interested in doing voice acting? And then how did you end up going the erotic voice acting route?
So, I'd always been curious about voice acting. And Daddy said, well, if you want to try it, then go for it. But you have to actually commit to trying it for like a year and see if you can make some decent money with it. And I didn't really want to invest a bunch in equipment and things like that because I wasn't sure I could do it. But he said, if you're going to actually be serious about it, then you've got to get a good microphone. You've got to, you know, create a good recording environment in your room and, you know, really give it your all. And so that's what I did. I started out actually doing vanilla business type stuff. And I was doing things like online training seminars, on-hold announcements for telephone systems and voicemail systems, some commercials, I don't know, just all kinds of things. And at the same time, I was still doing my freelance phone sex job. And so I mentioned it to a few of my regular callers, and they started asking if I could maybe make recordings for them that they could listen to when we couldn't do live calls together. And so then I started thinking about maybe getting into adult voice acting. And I remember there was a post that came across my Tumblr feed. Studio Fowl was looking for voice actors, but they weren't hiring for women at the time. They were just hiring for men. So I kind of went on a waiting list, and then I started looking around at other places. I ended up auditioning for Lord Aardvark, and I was straight up with him, told him, like, I was brand new to it. I didn't know if I had what it took and stuff. And he was really, really helpful. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. Like, I started doing work for other SFM artists, and I started getting a lot of followers on Tumblr. And I don't know, I did that for about 6 months or so. And then I started noticing all these SFM artists that had their own Patreon pages where they made money from their fans. And I thought, you know, there aren't really any voice actresses with Patreon pages. Am I crazy to think that maybe I could start a Patreon page? I don't know. I guess it was kind of hard for me to believe that guys would want to hear content exclusively from me and not me performing in somebody else's projects, you know? But there were a couple of SFM animators who really supported me and said I should go for it. And they promoted me on their pages to help get the word out and stuff. So back then, it was people like Lord Aardvark, CKAZ, Unidentified SFM, Pestilence SFM. All these people on Tumblr helped me get started. It was the positive feedback that I received from their fans and the encouragement from these artists that helped me take a leap of faith and create a Patreon account. And then things just kind of took off from there.
Certainly does go to show the public just can't get enough of your voice. When you were first starting to do recordings for others, was it scary? And if so, how did you confront that fear?
It was very scary. I still get scared sometimes, like when I'm doing an audition, because I think, oh, I'm not going to be anywhere close to what they're looking for, or, I mean, I guess it's probably just me. I have a lot of self-confidence issues to begin with, so I go through those really depressing kind of stages of I'm not good enough. And of course, that's going to spill over into my work as well. But I think to help combat that, I just stuck myself in front of the microphone and auditioned for everything I could get my hands on. Most of it was business vanilla type work, not adult work, but just auditioning for commercials and video game characters and online presentations and training seminars and pretty much anything you could possibly think of that puts my voice in front of a microphone. I just did it. And I got turned down a lot. I got a lot of jobs out of it. And I used that money to upgrade my microphone and things and try to improve my sound. And I try to get that as good as I can because I know that there are better actresses out there. I mean, I hear their auditions and I think, wow, they're really, really good. But their sound is crappy. And usually it's because they either have a really cheap microphone or because they don't understand anything about treating their room and environment to keep their voice from bouncing off every flat object in the room and creating this terrible reverb and echo and making it sound like they're recording inside of their bathroom stall. So, yeah, I did a lot of research and a lot of trial and error, and it's taken me a long time to get to a point where I feel like I'm mostly comfortable and happy with the sound in my room. And now we're moving, so I have to do that all again. But hopefully I've got the basics down enough and I've got enough of the right materials to recreate that in my new space.
Some listeners are curious about your recording gear. What programs do you use to do your recording and editing? Would you mind giving us a little rundown of your setup?
Not at all. You really have to put a lot of importance on your equipment and your environment. I mean, those things matter as much as your voice does. If you're going to be doing this from home on your own budget and not working out of a professional studio, you've got to be able to compete with people that have got good equipment and have got a clear sound, or else you're just never really going to get picked for those good jobs. So basically, my microphone, and I'll put links to these in my post so that people can find them. The microphone that I use is a Rode NT1. It's a cardioid condenser microphone. Now, that doesn't plug into a computer. It's not a USB microphone. Those are pretty amateur. This one actually plugs into an audio interface. So that interface then plugs into your computer. Now, in front of the microphone, I have a pop shield. Actually, recently, maybe the last 4 or 5 months have gone by, I got this new thing that fits over my microphone. It's like a big foam hexagonal weird, I don't know how to describe it, but it actually covers the microphone in 360 degrees. It's by Alktron, and it's a PF8. Basically, it's like a screen with this foam shell that goes all the way around your mic, and it helps to cut down on picking up background noise from your room, like your computer fan or the air conditioning, which I don't have, or any other background noise that you might have, which could be the water kicking on upstairs. Okay, that's gone. But could be, you know, noise from outside your windows or whatever. Speaking of windows, I have got two windows in this room. This is a bedroom in my house. There are two windows, and what I did was I went to the hardware store and I got some MDF cut to the size of my windows, and we screwed a handle on the back of that. And then on the front, I created several layers of bath towels on top of the board, And then I took an old sheet and cut it up, and I used a staple gun to staple around the edges so that it's basically like a big padded square shield with a handle. And I placed that in my windows to completely block out noises that might occur outside, like the birds chirping or whatever. What else do I have? I've got a really thick bath mat on top of my desk so that my voice doesn't bounce off the flat, shiny desktop surface. And in this room, there's not much else other than a humongous teddy bear that's like twice my size that sits in the corner and does absorb a lot of sound, but basically I just love it. And when I need a break, I'll get up from my chair and go and lay on my teddy bear and sometimes have a nap. This room used to be hardwood floors, but we went and bought carpet remnant that was large enough to go all the way around the room. And it actually is about 4 inches longer than it needs to be on all four sides so that it curls up over the baseboards of the room. And so there's actually no real corners for sound to get trapped and bounced in, you know, different directions. I also have these Autex panels, which is a company here in New Zealand, and probably nobody else knows about it, but there are all different kinds of companies that make them. They're not the little square foam things that you see where studios will stick them on their wall in a pattern or whatever. These are actually huge panels, like the size of a twin bed, and I would say they are about 2 or 3 inches thick. I've got 5 of those, and I've got them attached to these, like, wood planks, and they're leaned around the room against the wall because we rent here, and I'm not allowed to affix anything or put any nails in the walls. So we did it this way so that they're actually freestanding. They just lean against the walls. I mean, I could fold them up and put them in the garage or something if I wanted to, if I wanted to use this room for other purposes. But for me, they stay there all the time because this room is a dedicated studio. So you really have to think about the sound and how it works and what it's bouncing off of. I mean, even just sitting this close to the computer screen, my voice is going to bounce off that flat, shiny computer screen. But you can't fix everything. You have to just do the most that you can, do some trial and error, move some things around, and just record and just make test recordings and see how it sounds. Anyway, yeah, YouTube. Look up videos. Try to figure out ways to fix your space. Your space and your microphone are just as important as your voice, which I seem to be losing from all this talking.
This year, you've been spending a lot of extra time adding sound effects to your recordings. Doesn't that make it a lot more time-consuming and difficult for you?
Well, it definitely makes it more time-consuming. I used to always say, no, I don't do sound effects. You know, people would say, oh, well, can you make the sound of a closing door or somebody's footsteps or the phone ringing or whatever. And it was just like, I just do voice. I don't do sound design or whatever. But then I started getting into it a little bit. And it's kind of addicting. I don't want to go overboard with it. And I don't want to be spending hours and hours of my own time creating these sound environments behind my vocals because, honestly, I don't get paid for that. I get paid on a word count basis. So people are paying me for my voice, and then if I decide to spend an hour creating sound effects, then that's kind of just my own time that I'm wasting. But I don't consider it wasted because I think people appreciate it, and I think it makes the audio better in some cases. I mean, I'm not going to do that on every recording, but for the most part, if I see an opportunity to add a sound effect or something and I can find it, then I probably will. And then, of course, I also like to add like a background track of like oral sounds or moaning during sex scenes and things like that, because as I'm doing my narration over the top, it just seems to bring a little bit more life to the sex scenes. And, well, let's put it this way. Nobody's complaining about them, so I continue to do that. But as I make attempts to improve the quality of my production, it does take me much longer. And so as a result, I did raise my prices about 9 months ago or whatever. I probably am going to be raising them again in January. It just seems like the right thing to do. I don't know. I can't keep making improvements and keep charging the same prices. I mean, what used to take me like 30 to 45 minutes to record a script and do editing on my voice now might take me 1 to 3 hours of my time if I record additional background sex tracks, look for sound effects to fit the scene, mix them all into the narration. And on the ones that I have additional voice actors on, I have to kind of blend our voices together and try to create a cohesive sound throughout so that it's not too jarring as we switch back and forth. It does take a lot more time. And, time is at a premium for me. I don't have enough time to do what everyone wants me to do, so I'm actually turning away projects these days. So, yeah, I probably will raise my prices just a little bit for the sake of transparency, just letting everyone know why.
Certainly shows that you're willing to go the extra mile. If you had to pick your absolute favorite voice work you have done, what would you say it was?
Wow. God, this is a hard one. I don't think I could pick just one. I'd say this year on my Patreon, I've had the most fun creating the Lesbian Cock Addict series. Not only are the scripts fun and dirty, but it's been a really rewarding challenge to actually produce the finished audio, mix all the voices of the other actors and actresses like yourself and Silky Milk, and all of the music and sound effects. It's been a great mix of sex and comedy that I think the listeners have really responded to. The author, Slut Rider, has really outdone himself with these scripts, and I'm hoping we can come up with another project to continue working on together when the series ends this December. I've also really enjoyed the Courtesan of the Core World series, and I've had a fair bit of input into that one because Daddy came up with the original concept based on our love of Firefly and Serenity. And after the first two episodes, he actually took over writing that series. And I love what he's done with the characters, and it just kind of holds a special place in my heart, you know? Now that I mention it, looking back at the other audios I've really enjoyed, many of them have had multiple episodes. Maybe it's because we get to know the characters more than just on a one-off script. I'd have to say another one of my favorites has been that delusional little psycho from the 6 Erotomaniac recordings that were written by Crazy Joe. And then there's this lovely older woman, younger girl romance corruption story called My Neighbor Brooke. That's written by Peppa, whose writing style is so real and conversational. I just love recording those. It's had parts 1 and 2 released so far, and I keep hoping for part 3 to show up in my email box. Hint, hint. Let's see, what else? Aika has written a little mini-series called The Sundere Experience. That's parts 1, 2, and 3, and hopefully there's more coming of that. Again, it's a bit of a crazy character that's fun to play. And, well, as most of you know, I've got like a taboo private collection that is no longer officially available on Patreon, but there's many Fuda Babysitter, Fuda Mommy stories in there from one of my most prolific script writers, Daniel Chud. I really enjoy playing the Fuda characters because so many guys are really into that fantasy. God, I almost forgot about my animation projects. I think probably Marie Rose is one of my favorite game characters that I like to play. I had a lot of fun with the animation series by Red Moa that featured her and Hanukkah as prison guards in a small penis humiliation facility, funny enough. It was really fun to play. There's another animator named Kawaii Detective Enthusiast, who is probably one of my favorites to work for. I've done so many voiceover projects with him, and his storylines and themes always push my own taboo personal buttons. I was a big fan of his before I ever started voicing for him. Let's see what else. Oh, and there's this visual novel game that I've been voicing every month now for a year. In fact, I just recorded episode 12 right before this, and that's called DFD, and it's by Palmer from Love Joint. I voiced the two main characters, Amanda and Kathy, and it's been so much fun being a part of a project that has such longevity and such fun and loyal fan base and a great team of developers. I've done so many things. I could probably go on and on forever, but I'll just put some links in my post so that everyone can find all these projects, and if I think of any others, then I'll include them there as well.
Your resume certainly is well-earned, lengthy, and girthy. What would you say is the worst voice job you have done?
Ugh, that's easy. I still cringe to this day when I think about how terribly I botched a British accent. When I first started doing voiceovers for SFM animations, Overwatch was all the rage. I mean, I know it's still popular, but back then it had just hit and everybody was doing Overwatch characters. And while I muddled my way through a couple of Widowmaker projects, I was constantly telling people I cannot do foreign accents, especially British. Well, finally, I had to prove just how awful I was, and I was made to voice Tracer from Overwatch. Oh my God, I'm cringing just now thinking about it. I hope it's been buried so deep in the sea of negative comments it received that nobody here ever has to listen to it.
Don't worry, m'lady. Everyone does a bad British accent now and again. Can't be helped, can it?
Your accent was way better than mine, so I may just have to refer them to you.
Now that that's done, well, I guess that pretty much answers the next question, which was, would you be up for using a British or another European accent for a recording?
No. The answer is no. I may have had my arm twisted when I was just starting out because I was desperate for work, but now I think I value my reputation too much to ever attempt accents like that again. I just tell people, sorry, but no, not interested, and it's for their own good. Because I try to take pride in my work, and there is absolutely no pride to be found in my accent game.
I'm sure it's still better than my James Lipton impersonation. How does it make you feel to know that your listeners are coming to your voice and the things you say?
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I mean, I've been doing phone sex for a long time, so I'm actually used to hearing guys come to my voice or the fantasies that we create during calls. And that goes both ways. I mean, I quite often come myself during calls. So, yeah, I'm all happy with that. Doesn't freak me out in the slightest to think that guys are fapping away to my recordings. I mean, that's sort of why I make them.
Okay, my apologies. I was distracted for a moment. And this last question is, if you could bang any of your characters, who would you bang?
Well, since I tend to think of being the character rather than banging the character, I'm like 95% straight anyway, so I normally put myself in the character's shoes and think about having their adventures rather than being attracted to them. That being said, how could I not want to be Sarah from Lesbian Cock Addict? I mean, she just is addicted to cock so much. Men, not so much, but their cocks, absolutely. And I can totally understand that. And plus, she got banged by that lovable scoundrel Raoul. I mean, ooh la la, he's something else.
Well, that's it for James Lipton tonight. I thank you, Candy, and instead bring out another host. It is I, Raoul, and Raoul is now going to proceed to the kitchen and make some deliciously sweet and maybe a little salty milkshakes for the lovely Miss Candy and her. Ooh, so lovely, yes. Goodbye, my public. I know you can't get enough of me.
That's definitely right. We can't get enough of you, Raoul. I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to my good buddy Ivan Erection for helping me out with this recording. And this is just part one. There's part two of my Q&A coming out probably next week with a lot more of your questions. And that one is a little less formal. It's just me and Daddy in front of a microphone, talking, answering questions, acting silly, and giving you lots more information than you probably ever wanted to know about me, Voice Like Candy. So thanks for hanging in there, and I hope you enjoyed this. So remember that you can catch me on Patreon at patreon.com/voicelikecandy. You can also find me at my own website, which is voicelikecandy.com. And I also have a subreddit, which is also called Voice Like Candy. I'm seeing a theme. My Tumblr is voicelikecandy.tumblr.com. And yeah, that's all for now, but there's lots more coming. So thank you guys for your support, and I hope you continue listening. Bye for now.